Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we rest our hearts in your hands. We focus our eyes and our mind on your word, that we may hear the Holy Spirit teach each one of us the truth of the word, of how we are to live, how we are to trust, how we are to grow and to be more like Jesus, in Jesus and through Jesus, in the times that we live in. Lord, we lay at your feet the pain of our lives. We praise and lift up the praises and the blessings that you've given us, being thankful and grateful. Father, as we listen to the word, we pray for our loved ones and our enemies, that in your grace, Lord, you would give them eternal life. We pray for those who are sick, that, Lord, you would heal them from within and answer their prayers, Father, for their bodies and their pains and their illness. As we pray, Lord, for Barb's family, that you bring comfort. You bring, Father, the joy and the certainty of the joy that she's living in right now at your side. Lord, we also await your return. May we be found faithful on that day. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The song that we just sang, I Am a Friend of God, I woke up this morning with that song and I have not yet looked at what the lineup was. And the one in Scripture that we know that was known as the friend of God was Abraham. He walked with God and he was known and is known as the father of faith. And the faith that he had in God, God called and saw his righteousness. And what we want to do this morning as we move on in understanding and the invitation of living our life by faith, we want to be able to answer the question, what is the difference between wishful thinking and praying by faith? For if you are honest, if I am honest, if we're honest with ourselves, many times when we come in prayer, and they may be prayers of desperation, sometimes it's a wishful thinking, Lord, I wish. You never raise up to the point of faith. We ask the question, what is that faith? What's the level of faith like a mustard seed? But if you look through Scripture, in God's grace and patience, the love that He has for us, He wants to build up that faith. He wants to grow it. Abraham being known as a friend of God, God actually walked with him and he raised his faith. In Genesis chapter 12, we see that God begins to make his first steps with Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, verse 1, leave your country. It's one of the things that I think of my parents when they actually had that faith. We came to the U.S. not having anyone here except church family and friends. And we know sometimes that church family and friends only go so far. Shouldn't be so, but that's how it is. And they made a decision to leave all that they've known, and we left the country with a bunch of suitcases. That's it. Well, this is what's happening to Abraham. But before he even makes that step, before we get to the point where he's ready to offer up his son, God takes him one step at a time. And God has been doing that in your life, asking you to make small steps of faith as God wants to grow that faith on his plan for your life. Events, circumstances, battles, there comes a point where that faith must be mature. But to that point, God grows it one step at a time. Leave your people, leave your kindred, leave your father and the land, and I'll take you to the land, I'll show you. Really, there was no maps, there were no pictures.
Kind of like when the Lord said, go to Boise. He had no idea where it was or what it was. And the videos were very short and far between on YouTube what Boise was all about. God said, I want you there. You all must have stories and accounts when the Lord asked you to take a step of faith and you had no idea. But you knew something within was telling you, God is in this. It's going to be okay. How do you pray with faith? We see this in James chapter 5, pointing to Elijah, who was just a man. But he prayed by faith. God told him what he should pray. Therefore, he was aligning his life and prayer with God's plan. By the way, that's one-step formula of how to pray in faith. Know God's plan, know God's will. And then when you pray, you are in line with God's purpose. And this great man, or this man just like you and I, he prayed and the rain stopped, water stopped. It didn't rain for 3 years. And God told him again, pray. He prayed by faith, but he kept on asking Elisha, hey, go take a look. I see nothing. All right, I'll keep on praying. Okay, Elisha, go take a look now. Well, I see something far away, like the palm of my hand. And God answered the prayer of faith. What does that look like in your life? You know, when the beginning of 2000s, people began to switch prayer for thoughts. Instead of saying, I'll pray for you, they were saying, I'll have a good thought for you. Well, thank you very much. What's that way? What's that value? You'll have good thoughts for me. What does that mean? So in the same likewise, without even knowing, sometimes we say we're praying and we know we got to have faith, but without even knowing, we're wishing. This faith that overcomes the world, this faith that overcomes depression, overcomes sin, overcomes anger, overcomes these battles. What does this faith look like? Well, this morning we want to be able to see the simple steps of building up this faith. What must we do? And you may think, wow, does it take some kind of investment? What's the complicated process of building up my faith? We love watching people, Paul mentioned earlier, about people that have, they're handy in building and constructing, and you watch them build from nothing, and they put the pieces together, and you're like, wow, I wish I could do that. Well, you hear people once in a while pray, and as they're praying, it seems as if heaven opens up, and you're like, wow, God must be listening. He listened to his prayer of faith. But is faith really to be heard? Is faith really to amaze? Or does faith really, in its action, in its strength, gives answers? Back to Abraham, the friend of God, he tells him step by step, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And here's the promise. There were only a few of them, a handful of them. He tells them to leave his people to a place he's never seen, leave his father, leave his kindred. And he promises him, I'll bless those who bless you. I'm going to make your name great, that you will be a blessing. He who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4, Abraham listened. How the Lord spoke to him, how the Lord appeared to him, we have got no idea. But later on, right as he is in Canaan, it says here that God appeared to Abraham again. So there was some kind of direct connection. In this case, however, he speaks to him. Verse 4, Abraham went. That is what faith looks like. Faith is not spoken necessarily only. Faith is not even applauded. Faith acts. So, what does that look like in our lives? Building up faith. First of all, only 2 points, 2 principles, 2 challenges this morning. In God's grace and Him knowing us and how weak we are, God gives us evidence. Faith is built up on evidence. God's evidence. It's not just a matter of saying, well, faith is blind, just believe me. It comes to a point of that. It's raised up to a strength of being that, but God begins with evidence. To understand this more, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, because, see, in this evidence, God gives us steps of faith. He begins by small steps, and then He shows us, here's what I do, here's what I say, and then it happens. And we stay back and say, wow, God really works. There's steps. Steps in what God requires. Let's look at the woman, at this widow, not necessarily at Elijah. 1 Kings 17:17, that's where we start, but this is where we want to wind up. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, after she's experienced and seen what God could do and does do in promising and then providing and delivering, the woman says, now I know. Faith has this very small nucleus within your heart and mind. We may call it conviction. In knowing what Scripture says and what God has done, understanding what God commands, there's a certain peace that comes within your heart. You may speak it, you may not, but you will believe it when you will say, I can't see it, but I know. Some may say, I know what I know. Well, can you show me? No, but I know what I know. She says, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. If you were to condense that phrase, you would say, I know that the word of the Lord is truth. That is the heartbeat of faith. I know that the word of the Lord is truth. And that phrase actually unpacks the whole process of what faith is and living by faith and how faith grows. I know that the word of the Lord is truth. The Lord is talking to Thomas, come and touch, come and feel, come and see. And then He says, blessed are those who will not see, but they will believe what Thomas said. Oh Lord, my God. Look at this woman here in the steps of her faith. Verse 17 of 1 Kings 17. And this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house or the lady of the house, became ill. Up until this point, there were steps of faith. This is the grand testing of God showing who He is and what He can do. So He can pull out of this woman, I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. And that's where God wants to bring you. That it is much more than you believing it, but you declare it and you live it. So here is Elijah. God leads him by faith into this village, the whole land. By the way, we laugh at this, right? He is the one that declared the famine and the no rain, and now he is suffering from it. The whole land is suffering from it. And God says, don't worry, I've taken care of you. Go to this place, and I'm going to take you to this widow. You're going to do what? Yeah, this widow, which has nothing left to eat. All right, Lord. So here he goes, and then we'll put aside Elijah, and we'll look at the woman, and here she is gathering the last bits of food of what she's got, and she's about to go home, and she tells Elijah later, said, listen, I'm going to go home, make this meal, my son and I are going to eat, we're going to die. This is it, our last meal. And here's the man of God, which he was known as the prophet, and people are known as God's people. You may be known as a child of God, but God wants to prove that to your neighbors and your family, that the word of the Lord in your life is true. So here's Elijah walking along, and he sees her, and he says, listen, I'm hungry. Make me a meal. first step of faith that he's asking her is to give from her own mouth. Not just her own mouth, but from her son's mouth. We got a hard time tithing before we pay the bills, right? And here she is, she's got nothing left. And God tells her, give it to my prophet. Can you do that in a practical sense? Can you write a check of everything you have? Well, wait a minute. Wait, let's be logical here, we would say. I've got responsibilities, and God's not going to ask. He did, and he does, and he's asking her, listen, this food you're about to eat and die, no more food, just die. And Elijah said, listen, don't worry. You just do what's right. You give me that meal. Kind of selfish, right, from Elijah. Is Elijah being selfish? Not aware. Is he not being polite? He's acting under God's leadership. And he says, listen, make me the meal first. Give to God first and let God take care of your life. And so she says, okay, fine. And she does, and they have food for the rest of those 3 years. And she sees God answering the impossible. But here comes the point. She's faithful. She gives all that she has. She trusts. She's learning from whatever Elijah's teaching throughout this time. And as a further blessing for all the faithfulness she's been given the Lord, because we expect that, right? You expect that if you're a good boy, a good girl, you're a good Christian, and you obey God, God's going to keep on blessing you. Not so. In the temporary scheme of things. So for all I've done for the Lord, I've opened my house. So she gives a meal, but not only does she give a meal, but now she gives a room. She opens up her house for this man that she's never met before, probably heard of him. He heard him prophesy, but she's never really met him. Now he lives in her house, takes away from her privacy and her comfort. He lives there. For all these blessings, her son is sick. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. In other words, he died. And she says to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? I don't know how that phrase was stated, right? But I know how you and I would phrase it. Where's God now? Have I done something? Haven't I given you food? Haven't I given you a room? You've come to bring my sin to remembrance, to cause the death of my son. And he said to her, give me your son. He took him from her arms, carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged, and laid him on his own bed, and he cried to the Lord, oh, Lord, my God. Basically what she demanded or said to Elijah, now Elijah says to the Lord, wait a minute, Lord. Haven't I done everything you've asked me to? Haven't I prophesied? Haven't I been faithful? I've come here, and for a blessing you give death? Have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? And then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord, oh Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. I was talking to my good friend this past week, David Taylor, and I'd like to pass to you later on this coming week a letter from him of what he's been going through. He is the one that leads that orphanage and the Children of the Street ministry somewhere close to Pittsburgh, and we support him as our missionary. When we were serving together back in Mount Prospect, he had a stroke or he had some illness. He lost his job because of it. And since then, the Lord has used him greatly and mightily in this ministry, living his life by faith like George Mueller. Well, last month, he had another stroke. And it seemed like everything was falling apart. And then he watched God bring everything back together. And we were talking this past week, and he said, you know, people want God's blessing, And they want to see God's miracles, but people don't want to be in the intermittent time of quietness and desolation and fear and struggle and waiting into nothingness. We want to hear the stories, and we praise God for the answer to prayer. But boy, that walking in the desert is something we don't want. That's what's happening here. We see him come alive. And the life of the child came into him again, and he revived, and he took the child back to the mother, and he said, "See, your son lives." And that's when everything changes in the life of this woman. For 3 years, she didn't say a word. She ate at the Lord's table. She gave all that she had to begin with. She gave her own household, but now the Lord feeds her, and he watches the Lord work. But now God really takes her to a point where she never thought she'd be. She suffered and cried. Everything was falling apart. But now she says, "And now I know that the word of the Lord is true." Can you say that? Do you know that? Many people believe that faith is something blind, or you are told, "You just got to believe," which actually turns into, "You just got to wish, cross your fingers, knock on wood, and hope that God will somehow, somewhere," and we close our eyes. And the reason why we're angry with God when it seems that God did not answer our prayers is because we never had faith to begin with. We were hoping, we were wishing, there was no relationship. Remember, we mentioned that this faith rises from the trust which is rooted in love. So if I want my faith to grow, I need to go back and say, "Lord, I need to love you. I want to love you with all of my being and all of my heart, all of my mind." Now, it's true. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, 1, the chapter of faith, the verse that defines what faith is. But it seems to be so cold. It seems to be so lifted up and above our lives. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It seems to be so religious. Unless we understand the relationship side of how the Lord wants to grow your faith step by step, because He loves you. And He does that by giving you opportunities to love Him more today than you loved Him yesterday. And you are trusting in Him because you love Him, though you do not understand what is happening. Faith is the assurance, is the certainty, the conviction, other translations say, the conviction for things that we hope for, where you don't hope for anything from someone you don't love or trust. Now, what does that look like? There are solid reasons, real reasons why we have to believe into some things that we cannot see. Let me put it this way. How many of us here believe that there was such a man called George Washington, and he was the first president of this country? You believe that George Washington existed? Have you seen any videos of him? No, you haven't. Have you seen any pictures of him, like real pictures, not drawings? No, you haven't. Are you sure there was a George Washington? Because see, somehow, within the length of time that we can touch in a certain way or form, we say we believe. But how far back in time do you go? Why are some people denying that there was ever existed someone called Jesus? Oh, that's just a mystical figure that never existed. Why? Because it's 2,000 years ago? But we believe there was an Alexander the Great, don't we? Why? We pick and choose. Because Alexander the Great never asked you to
to live by faith in something you cannot see. Just as we believe in who our parents are, how many of you believe that your parents are the ones you called mom and dad? Were you at your birth? Do you remember what happened when you were first born? Did you turn around to see who mom was? Wasn't that the question as you were a child when people were mocking you, saying, you were adopted. You don't want to hear that. But when you were born, you don't remember who your parents were. But you believe that. Isn't that interesting how we take some things by faith? Other people believe that faith is some gift that God gave only to a select few. Well, God hasn't given me the faith. Or we use the phrase, I pray that you won't lose your faith. Well, there is such a thing called saving faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We're told that by faith you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. So our salvation is not by works. God's grace, God's mercy has created you from before time began. And by grace, He saved us. But He requires the flip side of that, His faith. But keep in mind, He says, that is not of your own doing. Your salvation is not of your own doing. And the faith that you have is not of your own doing. Wait a minute. Then how do I get faith? He says, it is the gift of God. Saving faith, it is God's gift. And there's also something we call serving faith. Look at Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Well, what does that mean? How should I be honest with myself? How do I not compare myself to others? How do I live faithfully before God and not make it a race against those that I'm surrounded by? It says this, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So God has given you a certain amount of faith in the ministry and the gifts that you have received. Some people have more faith in being gracious and merciful. They got more faith in serving others. They got more faith in leading, knowing that God is in control and He'll bring the people to a place of blessing. God has given each you in serving some faith more than others. However, while faith owes its ultimate source to God, growing faith is available to all. Though God has given you faith when He touched your life and you were born again, and then He gives you faith in serving, there's that amount of faith that God leaves up to you that you must grow in, which is part of that relationship, the giving and the taking, the connecting with the Lord within struggles and blessings where the Lord is seeking to do one thing. Because He says, will Jesus find faith? Will the Son of Man find faith when He returns? He wants you to be mature in your faith the older you grow. We talk about some people that are young. We call them, he is wise beyond his years. Consequently, can we flip that and say, he is a child in his faith compared to his years of salvation? And that would be a sad thing to say. Why are all these things happening to me? The Lord is working in maturing, matching your faith to the gray hairs of your head. And that is for His glory. Because in your growth and maturity, not only like Noah, he saved himself, but he saved his household with him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. God desires all men to be saved. That's the beginning. That is His desire, His plan in working out and in seeking and bringing the elect back into the fold.
This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved. Now you got to make a distinction between desiring and His plan of election and effectual calling. And that's for another time. But in His heart, His desire is that all will be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? There's one God, one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. What did He do? He gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time. God's desire is that people would have a faith in Christ for what He did, who He is, and what He is for you and I. He also desires that which produces faith to be proclaimed to all the nations. What produces faith? And that's the Word of God. Look at Romans 1:16. He wants this Word of God to be preached, that all may know and hear and make a decision. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God. What kind of power? What does this power do? For salvation to everyone, important qualifier, who believes, faith. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's powerful. It brings salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 16:25, now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to My gospel, meaning the gospel that is being written, the gospel that's being given, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. This mystery, what's this mystery? What's this gospel? He explains it. This was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations. God wants this word that gives faith to be preached to all the nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about obedience of faith. Part of this growth in faith, it's not just the faith to have God answer the prayers that we have, whether they're aligned to His will, or there's faith that we pray for, Lord, is this Your will? Here it is. We talk about faith in receiving things or seeing God do things. But right here is a qualifier. The obedience of faith. Faith in who the Lord is. Faith in the teaching of the Word and of being obedient, to be holy, to be obedient, to be disciple makers. The obedience of faith. Faith, as we mentioned, where do we get faith? It comes from evidence, which God Himself provides. And we see, first of all, we see it in creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. God begins with the simplest things and the greatest thing at the same time. Lift up your head and see creation. From the trees and the mountains and the constellations, you see something that cannot be explained, that cannot be repeated. We cannot do this. Something greater than ourselves. For what can be known about God is plain to them. It's simple. It's given. It's right in their face. Because God has shown it to them. Same way, when we walk with the Lord, God gives you the plain things, the simple things first, as to a child, that we would step in obedience. Faith begins with obedience. For His invisible attributes, namely the eternal power, divine nature, has been clearly perceived. Look at the words, circle and connect them, plain and clearly perceived. God promises and God has shown it. These are given that cannot be denied. Ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. God gives the evidence. And He listens to your prayer. Lord, help me believe. Show me, Lord. Give me that faith. And then much more, He went from creation, He went to the prophets. And from the prophets, He went to Jesus Himself. Hebrews chapter 1:1. Long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken us through His Son. So He sent the prophets, He sent the law, He sent the books. And then when then that was enough, which was never His plan was always Jesus. But He's working in steps, as He's working in your life, in steps. Jesus in these last days, whom He appointed the heirs of all things, through whom we created the world. God provided signs now through Jesus. Yes, in the Old Testament, but now through Jesus Himself for one reason. To grow our faith and give us a believing heart. John 5:36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, says Jesus. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing, which you are seeing, a present participle, ongoing ministry of healing and demonic conquering, the way He cast out the demons and healed people. All that power, Jesus says, the very works I'm doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. God doesn't just say, have faith, close your mouth, and open your eyes. He says, here it is. Prophets, Jesus, miracles. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Why? Believe in me that I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. Or else, believe on the account of the works themselves. Not only did Jesus work and do miracles so that they would believe, but He's doing that in your life, through your circumstances, your situations, even your sickness, and the healing, and the peace, and the grace through the sickness. God is showing one thing. That Jesus is Lord and that He is in the Father and the Father is working through Him. The apostles recorded these signs that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through this faith that we would have victory over the world. John says that in the last verse of the last chapter of his book. Now Jesus did many other things, signs, in the presence of the disciples, so the disciples would see and continue to proclaim. Now these signs, which are not written in this book, but these are written, the ones that you have been given, are given that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in His name. And this takes us right into the next and last and most important step. All of these things that have been written to grow faith in your life. And believing in Jesus, you will have life eternal and here. Victory as you look into His Word. And that's our second principle. Faith comes from the Word of God. It comes from the evidence of all that surrounds us, all that God has done, all that He has written and has fulfilled. But now more and more it comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from what? From hearing. Why do we gather? We must hear the Word of God. Why do you turn on the radio? Why do you look on YouTube and listen to sermons? Because you must hear the Word of God. Why do you turn on the Bible that's spoken and you listen to it while you drive? Because as you hear the Word of God, faith comes into your life. And hearing through the Word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from Scripture. Faith, this trust and conviction, is founded on what the Word of God reveals. And you find yourself listening and reading, and the Holy Spirit is tapping you and convicting you, and you understand that you receive peace, and you say, yes, I repent, or yes, I will go, or yes, I will do. As I've been listening, the Word spoke to me. This is especially true regarding faith in Jesus. The Word of God produces this faith in Jesus by the evidence it provides. Look at the messianic promises in the Old Testament that were fulfilled to a T when Jesus was born and all they did. Then we have His signs and wonders recorded in the Gospels. We got the testimony of the eyewitnesses. You know, there's more evidence, more written scrolls of the Word of God than any other historical paper in the world, maintained and kept by God, that we would have and believe. Faith in Jesus leads to the victory that we must and need in our lives. The reason many people do not live victorious lives is because of their lack of faith. We may have a weak faith because we do not read and we do not study the Word of God. Read and study. Remember the navigator's hand illustration on the Word of God? You must listen. You must read. You must study. You must meditate. And you must memorize. And what they did is, when you did that, you had a good grip on Scripture. And nothing can pluck it out of your heart. You must read, must listen. You must read. You must study. You must meditate. You must memorize, or flip those two. Oh, but that's so much work. And the storms will come. And the storms will shake the house and test the foundation. You know, I've been, and I'm going to have you hold me accountable. I've been talking about exercising and walking and running. And we all live on the edge of, I must do more. And I will start tomorrow. We're all there. We can all advise people to do the walking and the exercising. And I kind of started and I kind of stopped and I kind of started, kind of stopped. These past 2 weeks, I've been in horrible pain in my back for having strained it. And I'm looking at myself, I said, so much pain, I'll never let this happen again. The moment this is over, I'm running, walking, and lifting weights because I'm getting older. I'm not going to allow simple things to put me on the sideline. So this pain is retching up such a dedication and conviction that's going to explode into dedication and action. God allows this weight sometimes, the shadow of the valley of death, sickness, to awaken us to the faith that we must have. It's not something we can live without. I contend that faith in Jesus will give you victory in overcoming the world. Whether it's overcoming the sin which separates us from God, or overcoming sinful thinking that hinders our relationship with God, victorious faith comes from the Word of God. That's why we cannot overemphasize the importance of feeding on the Word of God daily. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Why am I so weak in faith? Why am I so desperate? Why am I sinning? Why am I falling? Lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That was a downfall of Israel for not knowing, embracing, and living within the Word of God. When people don't have access to God's Word, they are very weak. Look at Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. In that day, the lovely virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst. Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Now, we may listen and we may agree, but what do we do about it? How many of you have heard that there's a great famine coming our way? All the farmers are spending a lot more money for, raising the products, and it's like a tsunami. We don't see it yet, but we know it's coming, right? You've heard this? What are you doing about it? Is it coming or is it not coming? How many of you have started buying a little extra canned food? All right, some of you believe it's coming because you're doing something about it. Same with faith. The fact that you're not in the hospital right now doesn't mean you live your life not growing in faith. You grow in faith right now for when that phone call comes and that storm appears, you stand. And you say like Job, no matter what happens, I know that my Redeemer lives and I shall see Him in that day with my own eyes. Even Jesus called upon the Word of God to overcome temptation. It is written, it is written, it is written. Therefore, James instructs us, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The Lord has given us victory in this life, in eternal life thereafter. Heavenly Father, we run to You like children and embrace You in repentance and lift our hands in gratitude for the power and the strength of the Word You have given us in Jesus. He is the Word. He is the bread of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the living waters. He is our Lord and Savior, the Messiah. We love Him because He first loved us. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.